I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about keeping Christ first in your life. This is what it's all about, is keeping Jesus first. And I'm so thankful for the call of God upon Chris and Rachel's life. I'm so proud of all of our children. Andrew was flying up and his plane broke yesterday, so he couldn't get here. But I think he's watching online today, and son, I love you so much. But the Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 1, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and the earth. He made the things we can see, the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else and holds all creation together. In other words, when it comes to keeping Christ first, the Apostle Paul wanted you to really understand that God is more, that Jesus is more than just a man. He existed before all eternity. God created everything that is and was and shall be. He created it through Jesus Christ. He wants you to understand how important that is, that you're made in the image of God. He's the beginning, the supreme, and over all who rise from the dead. In other words, there's your confidence in your loved ones. Yolanda mentioned her father just a moment ago. Just a few days before he went to heaven, we sang together, he and I, robust, big voice. He wanted to know how many children I had, and I told him, and he hit his chest. His number of children was in the double digits, so he was a better man than I was. I can't wait to see Augustine again. I can't wait to be with those who've already gone ahead of us. So, he is first in everything. Read that with me. He is first in everything. Say it again. He is first in everything. I believe the King James Version uses the word preeminent. He's preeminent in everything. He is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything on heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Bear asked me just a moment ago, when I opened the juice, he says, Papa, that smells good. I said, Bear, this represents the blood of Jesus. It's the best smelling thing I know. Then he said, Can I have some? I said, When you get older. He reconciled by the blood. This includes you who were once far away from God. That's people like me. You are his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now God has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. This is going to be very difficult for some of you to do. You're going to feel hypocritical when you say it, but it's true. Look at your neighbor this morning and say, I am holy and blameless because of my faith in Christ. Would you do that? I'm holy and blameless because of my faith. It almost feels prideful to say that, doesn't it? But that's why the blood of Jesus is so wonderful. But you must continue to believe this truth. You must continue to believe the power of the cross and the gospel and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Father, I'm asking you to help me to be brief, just for the love of your people this morning and for the glory of your name. But I ask you to help me on this day when I feel so honored and so loved to remind us, Jesus first, Jesus always. And to the glory of the Father, as the scripture says, to the glory of the Father, we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. Would you give him a hand of praise before you're seated? You can be seated. Thank you. I think what Paul is addressing here is several really short questions, and that is, do we recognize Jesus first in his incarnation, that Christ came and dwelt among us and showed us what God was really like? Do we recognize that we are not descended from animals, but that we are created in the image of God? Do we recognize that together we make up his body, the church? I am not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. And you know, a first responder once told me, he goes, when we arrive at an accident, we never just assume somebody is dead, but if there is a decapitated body, then we can assume it's dead. If the church separates itself from Christ, then the church is dead. Jesus is Lord always. Can you say amen? Our life derives from him. Our love derives from him. Our unity derives from him. We recognize him as first in the resurrection. We recognize him first in mercy. We recognize him as first as having removed the penalty of our sin. And we recognize him first as the Word of God incarnate. So the question is, how do I keep Jesus first in my life? Can I suggest to you, and I borrowed this acronym, it's not original with me, but I borrowed this acronym from Pastor Rick Warren. However, the rest of it is me. But the first thing is finances. If we put God first, we will put God first in our finances. Stephen King, after he had a terrible accident that he liked to die from, he said, I suddenly realized, he said, I came into this world with nothing, and I was going to go out of this world with nothing. Bill Gates is going to go out of this world with nothing. Warren Buffett is going to go out of this world with nothing. And I don't know anything about Stephen King's faith, but this little paragraph just gripped me. Right now, you and I have the power to do great good for others. So I ask you to begin giving and to continue as you begin. I think you'll find in the end that you got far more than you ever had and did more good than you ever dreamed. You see, when we keep God first in our lives, then we're not only stewards, we're generous. And our generosity is not driven by how much we make. And coincidentally, those of you who have been blessed with a lot, this is important to understand. People who make $30,000 a year or less in America give more percentage-wise of their income than people who make over that. And so I don't want to disappoint you, but if you want God to bless your finances, you have to put him first. You have to start with a tithe. Jesus says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you. Full press down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Kim and Teresa, I know you're going to remember this, but Daddy had these bushel baskets that we had to pick peas and butter beans with. We would fill one up and we'd say, Daddy, it was full, because if we filled it up, we were done. And he would come over and take that basket and he'd shake it and press it down. And he goes, oh no, it's not full yet. And so we learned from our dad what to press down and shake it together and run over. Secondly, in our interest in life as well, in the interest of our lives, and whatever it is that draws my attention, I want to keep God first. One of the, quote, church fathers, Basil of Caesarea, he was hated by the Emperor Valens. And the emperor sent Martinus to him to threaten him because he didn't like the preaching of Basil. He didn't like the ministry that Basil had. And Basil, when Martinus showed up to him and complained to him, Basil talked to him in a way that Martinus, the personal representative of the emperor, had never been talked to before. And Basil looked at him and he says, when the interests of God are at stake, we care for nothing else. And sisters and brothers, with the interest of God are at stake, there is nothing else more important. There is nothing more important than being bold expressors of God's love to our lost friends. There's nothing else more important than raising our children to know and to love Jesus Christ. There's nothing else more important, husbands, than loving your wife as Christ loved the church. The Bible says this, and this has been one of my life verses for many years. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Let's read that together. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Read that one more time. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. What God is saying is if you delight yourself in him, God will begin to shape the very desires of your heart. Number three, if you want to keep God first, you're not only keeping first in your finances, you're not only keeping first in your interests, but you're keeping first in your relationships. I remember one time a young person looking at me and says, you know the hardest place for me to live for Jesus? I said, where? Said, at home. I said, at home. He goes, yeah, I don't know why. He said, I don't have any problem in school living for Jesus. I don't have any problem on my job living for Jesus. But he said, Pastor, it's hard sometimes to live for Jesus at home. And I said, why is that? He goes, we just don't get along. And in our relationships, we have to learn the importance of learning to love one another and grow in faith together. And so I decided as a youth pastor, I would tackle that subject and I would tackle that issue on relationships. And what I finally came to the discovery of, it was the cross. It was the cross of Jesus Christ. And again, I'm just really skimming through this. But would you look at this quote with me this morning? This is from D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who shaped my thinking so much on preaching and on the cross. Martin Lloyd-Jones, like Dr. Gilreath, was a medical doctor and a surgeon. And he says, look again at the cross, my friend. Take another survey. Examine it again with greater depth and profundity. And having seen the grace and the mercy and the compassion and the kindness of God, look again, and this is what you will see. You will see the righteousness of God. You will see the justice of God and his holiness. It's the place of all places in the universe where the attributes of God can be most plainly seen. I want you to just gaze for just a moment at this cross. Because when you look at this cross, you've got to remember just a few of the personalities that were there. Do you remember a man by the name of Simon of Cyrene? That he was compelled when Jesus stumbled to carry the crossbeam upon his back. He didn't plan to be at the cross, and maybe you didn't plan to be here this morning, or you didn't plan to be watching online, but you're not here by accident. God wanted you here today. And so you don't always plan to get to the cross, but God has brought you here. And then there was a gambler. And maybe some of you this week, you've lost some money at the casino or you were gambling or something. There was a gambler there unaware of who was hanging on the cross. And you're unaware of who loves you more than anything else and who gave his life to save you from your sins. But then there was a centurion there who had crucified perhaps hundreds of thousands of men. And when he heard Jesus cry out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, he said, surely this is the Son of God. And maybe you have been far from God, but suddenly you have recognized at the foot of the cross this morning, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is to be first in everything, preeminent in everything. And you confess your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're like Mary Magdalene that was there at the foot of the cross. And when Jesus first met her, she was filled with devils and she was insane. But Christ touched her and Christ delivered her and set her free. And nobody probably ever loved Jesus the way that Mary did. And I'm telling you this morning, it is no accident that the power of the cross is what changes people. Yes, the justice and the holiness of God are met at Calvary, but it is because of God's amazing love that Christ gave his son for you and me. Hallelujah. There were priests there. They were mocking Christ. And they were so happy that he was dead. They were so happy that Christ had died because finally their religious system was vindicated. And there are people today that when they look at the cross, they think, what a lie, what folly. Don't you ever be afraid of the people who mock the gospel of the cross. For our boast is always that the cross is the center of all we believe. Can you say amen? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. And then if you'll look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3 through 4, the cross will change you. The cross will change you. Because when you understand who Christ is and what Christ did for your salvation, you will make this your prayer. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Boy, if husbands and wives could let that be, how they express themselves to one another, kindness and loyal. Parents and children, tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart, and then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. So we not only our finances, not only our interests, not only our relationships, but our schedule. I have to be a good steward of my time. The Bible says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Underline that in your outline this morning. Make the most of every opportunity. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Say, Pastor, how can I understand what God wants me to do? Read His Word daily. Thank God for the truth. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. Wasn't it good to sing and worship the Lord this morning? I mean, I just wanted to just bow on my face as we sang some of those songs this morning. And then give God thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heinz, when you did that tape measure deal this morning and you cut it off at 70, I went, no, no, a miracle's going to be mine. I believe that. But when he cut that thing off at 70, I says, Lord, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. So it was so good when you started stringing more along and you said it ends at 100. I'll take that. I'll take that. And then finally this morning, and honey, if you'll slip back up to the keyboard, we're not only keeping first our finances, our interest, our relationships, our schedule, but you want to keep Jesus first in the midst of all your troubles. Trouble is going to come our way. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have testing and trials. But look at me, listen. If you can see your troubles, your family, your finances, your marriage, your ministry, your health, if you can see your troubles in the light of Christ's glorious resurrection, your troubles will grow smaller and smaller because Christ has conquered all. But if you see God, if you see Jesus in the light of your troubles, then God will become smaller and smaller in your life. You never look at your troubles first. You'll look to Jesus. And Philip, I'm so thankful for how you transcribed that scripture into prayer. Would you stand with me this morning? Jesus talked about Jonah in the Bible. Jesus used Jonah's being in the belly of the fish for 3 days to illustrate his resurrection. And this passage has become so real for me. I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead. And Lord, you heard me. Read that with me. I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. I believe God has heard you. I believe God has heard you. And I believe God has heard me. So I'm going to ask you to do three things as you leave this service today. Number one, believe the truth about Jesus. Believe what God has said about Jesus. Believe what he has said about creation. Believe what he has said about his crucifixion and his resurrection. Believe what he's told us about his miracles, his sinless life. And believe that glorious truth that Jesus is coming again. And believe the truth that you confessed at the first of this message. If you put your faith in Jesus, I am holy and blameless. Now, if you look at my life, you're going to find plenty of faults. Just walk with me for a day and you'll go, By the way, I need to apologize for a word I said last week. I did not know it was a bad word. I'd never used that word before, but I said it in a automobile thing that happened. I was right, but my wife, whom I fear, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and Becky, oh Jesus, you have never been taken to the woodshed like I was taken to the woodshed last Sunday. Now all the young adults that I've asked, they say, you're wrong. But honey, you're right. I believe the truth from you just like I believe the truth of the gospel. Secondly, thank God every day for your salvation. Don't take your salvation for granted. I'm so thankful that he forgave my sins. And then above all, look at me. Trust him with your future. Trust him with your future. God's got this. Can you say amen? God's got this. God has got this. Hallelujah. So, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We want you first in our finances. Lord, we want you first in our interest. We want you first in our relationships. Lord, we want you first in our schedule. And we want you first in our troubles. So this morning, I'm asking people here, Lord, who may not have crossed the line yet or may have wandered away from their faith in God, would you touch their hearts? Would you open their eyes? And Lord, would you cause them to understand the truth that God came in the flesh to save us from our sins? And that they'll put their trust in you, you'll give them a brand new life. So if that's you, would you pray with me right now? Just say something to the Lord that is, you don't have to repeat what I'm saying word for word, but something like this. Say, God, thank you. I am overwhelmed with the thought that you would come to take my sins upon yourself, and that you will make me holy and blameless as I put my faith in you. I receive your forgiveness today, and to the glory of the Father, I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Well, every head is bowed. If you prayed that prayer, would you lift your hand this morning and say, Pastor, I'm committing my life to Christ. Thank God, several people all around, every section. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for that, would you? Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I ask your blessings upon this congregation. I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, and I pray that above all, that your name has been honored, Lord, I have received much undeserved accolades this morning. But God, we give it all to you. It is to the glory and the honor of the Father. God, we gather in your presence and we eat in your presence today. Now, would you bless your people with peace? Would you bless your people with joy? Would you smile upon them and go with them wherever they go? Anoint the works of their hands for whatever they do. And Lord Jesus, give them good success, I pray, in your holy name. And everyone said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed this morning.